This episode of Pat Trek is brought to you by Cards Against Humanity. They've asked us not to read an ad. Enjoy the show. We would like to thank the Chicago Podcast Co-op for bringing us that sponsor. The Chicago Podcast Co-op is a collective of excellent podcasts based right here in Chicago. Find out more at chicagopodcastcoop.com.
The late 80s. The final frontier. These are the voyages of the podcast Pat Trek. My continuing mission to introduce my friend Patrick to the best show that ever ran on television. And to boldly go where millions of white guys with glasses have gone before.
Hello, and welcome to Pat Trek. This is the show where my friend Pat O'Rourke introduces me, Patrick Winninger, to Star Trek The Next Generation, a show that I've never seen.
And I have seen a ton of times. And Patrick, you know what this show makes me think?
What's that?
That if you ever got called to court, I've got your back. I will go to combat.
You know, okay.
Just to defend you, my friend.
I appreciate that, but Pat, just you know that that's not how real life courts in the United States work. No.
What do you mean?
You don't have to do trial by combat.
Are you serious?
I appreciate that, though.
Dude, I've been working out for like 5 minutes now.
Okay, well, I probably should pick someone else. Just anyone bigger.
As McCard. What?
I'm sorry. Oh, hey, look, I'm a skinny dude, too.
Hey, McCard could handle it.
Yeah, that's true.
I'll handle it with my wit. Yeah.
The other person offering her life for trial by combat was Chelsea from The Long Trek Home, another Star Trek podcast of the original series.
Hey, Chelsea.
Yeah, hey.
Hey, I'm glad to be on Pat Trek because I've been deep, deep in the muck in the original series, and watching some Next Gen was a sort of nice break from that.
Did you feel like it was a big departure from what you're used to? How disjointed did the experience feel?
I don't know that it's that disjointed of an experience for me because I have watched Next Gen a lot before. The lighting was a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the biggest, like, the cinematography advances were pretty incredible, and I was on board with that.
There's, like, that 60s sci-fi show lighting that all of them had. You know, like,
yeah.
Early Doctor Who had the same deal. Blake 7 and, like, Star Trek, the original series. Everything was in Technicolor and extremely bright and pink or beige or something.
It was beautiful.
Yeah,
not as dark and depressing as the Klingon homeworld.
I do really like the colors of original series. Mm. I feel like they go in a lot better with like just a fun sci-fi aesthetic, and it almost feels in certain ways less dated than Next Gen. I know we should probably get to talk about the episode we watched at some point, but Next Gen, everything is so like sort of beige a lot of the time, including like the random stairs that people wander down to find old women.
It's like it's like what computers looked like in the late 80s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
you
totally.
Know, they had that computer beige.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they thought the future would be.
They were right.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like today.
Everything is beige.
Except we have flat screens now.
Everything's black and silver now instead of beige.
That's true.
Or like white plastic.
We'll go back to beige. It's going to make a big comeback.
Beige is coming back in a big way. You know what else was kind of beige and dark and dreary? Was that Klingon homeworld.
Yeah.
Pat, you were telling me about this.
Yeah. This is the fun fact.
Okay.
This is the first time that we ever go to the homeworld. And I think I'm saying it right. I don't think they really said it that much in this episode, but Konos?
Yeah, sure. Whatever.
Yeah, I have a hard time speaking Klingon. I'm not a native speaker.
Yeah, that would be weird if you were.
Yeah, but this is the first time we see that planet, and we'll be back several times throughout the series.
Oh, cool. Because I did like this episode, and I like any of the Klingon shit. You
know
me.
I know that, man.
I love that.
And I'll say this. I love this episode. No spoiler.
Yeah, it was great.
It was
fun, man.
Oh, my God. What this sets up for the future of Worf and the whole Klingon culture, I'm so happy.
Yeah, well, you know, if you put Worf, any Worf-heavy episode I tend to like.
Yeah.
He's just a great character. I have a lot of fun watching all the like different culture stuff from the Klingons. I don't know. It's just fun to me.
Agreed.
Yeah. But for Patrick's log, this is what was going on the week that this came out, or the day, rather, March 19th, 1990. I went through the LA Times. Just that's where I get the headlines from.
Oh, and yeah.
All it's full of is angry letters to the editor about the Raiders leaving LA for Oakland.
Oh, that's right.
This was the day that that happened, that was announced. And it's just like, it's just, see, all of them are just like, Raiders return to Oakland. And it's all these people like, Al Davis is such a jerk. Why didn't you give him a stadium? Blah, 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 and all this other stuff. And I think that's funny because, of course, now the Raiders are going to Las Vegas
right.
for the next season.
Right.
And it's like Al Davis's bowl cut son runs the team. I think it's like Mark Davis or something. Mm-hmm. Google him. His haircut is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then everyone in Oakland is pissed now. And I imagine.
Yeah, but they weren't even there that long.
Not really.
What's.
Well, what, for like 20 years.
What
that's
type of
long.
Honor is in that, Patrick? There's no honor in moving from city to city.
Yeah, the Klingons would be pretty pissed about
that. Oh, my God. They'd kill him.
Except, like, I know a Raiders fan from Birmingham, and apparently they have a huge fan base outside of Oakland, and none of them care. There's like, yeah, I don't live in Oakland. I don't give a shit. I'm still a Raiders fan. I'm still going to, like, break a beer bottle over someone's head or whatever. Because that's like the stereotype of the Oakland Raiders fans, that they're pirates.
Not no, Chelsea, big Raiders fan.
Yeah, absolutely. My favorite
hell yeah, dude.
Team of sports.
This was a slow news week. Normally, it's always something like, oh, the Soviet Union fell today. That was the day that happened. And that's been the news for, you know.
That did not happen.
That didn't happen this day. Today, the Raiders left L.A. back to Oakland.
Oh, man. March 19th was a dark day.
Dark day. Dark day for Los Angeles. But yeah, we should probably get in the episode.
Let's
so
do
this
it.
Was Sins of the Father. A very biblical name for a very biblical episode.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
As we said up top, the very Klingon-heavy episode got a lot into culture, and the teaser, like the opening, it kind of set up like a parallel to, I think it was Heart of Glory, the one where Riker goes to the Klingon vessel. I don't know if you remember that episode, Chelsea, at all.
I do, actually.
Yeah.
A previous Set to Kill episode, I believe.
Great. It was an awesome episode. In this one, there's this Klingon dude named Kern who is coming to the Enterprise, to a Federation vessel, because he's doing like an exchange program, basically.
Taking over second in command.
Yeah. And I don't know what they're going to do with Riker or whatever. I think he's just hanging out.
He's just chilling.
Yeah, he's going to go to the holodeck and, like, you know, bone some fake people.
No.
Do whatever Riker does when he doesn't have a job.
I know, you'd think he would go to Risa or something. Like, get out of here.
Yeah.
Go on vacation. But no, he just hangs out on the ship and, like, wanders around doing Riker things, I guess.
Gives advice.
Yeah.
He tries to give advice.
Yeah. So this guy Kern shows up, and I noticed when he got beamed aboard, he had a weapon. Like, he had a gun.
Yeah, they never took it from him.
I guess, you know, he's technically an officer in the Federation, right? Because the Klingon is the Klingons are in the Federation by this point?
Yeah, but he's not an officer. They're allies, certainly. But it's not like an ally of ours would have a ranking role within our military, would they?
I think
not that the Federation is a military thing, or
of course
the
not.
Enterprise.
Except
definitely not a military vessel.
Yeah, they're definitely a military vessel.
I don't think it works. Like, if I'm a general in, I don't even know our allies, dude, but a general in
like
Sweden,
yeah.
I don't think I'll be a general in the U.S. Army, would I?
No, I don't think it transfers like that.
Yeah,
but
it's not one for one.
But in this case, he's an exchange. Like, he's a student.
Yeah.
He's an exchange student.
Yeah.
I think it's more that you wouldn't, like, disarm one of your allies because they're still technically, like, a citizen of a different country. So you're not going to, like, infringe on their, like, cultural norms or whatever.
Okay.
And it's like,
sense.
Oh, well, Klingons, you know, always have their weapons on them. They're always ready to go.
Yeah. It's part of their uniform.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, they're not going to take away part of his, like, uniform and culture from him, even if it, you know, is otherwise sort of like an odd choice that they wouldn't do themselves.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, when Kern is on the ship, he's acting first officer, like, second in command on the ship.
Yeah.
And he shows up on the bridge, and he makes a speech about how, like, I studied everything about the Federation. I know all of your rules, and I'm gonna hold you to them. I'm a real hard ass, you guys.
Yeah, some like, much-needed discipline.
Yeah. Yeah. And this dude looked familiar, and it's the guy that played Candyman. I was trying to place him, and I had to look it up on IMDb. It's the guy, it's the Candyman from the horror movie. But he is a real piece of work on the bridge.
Well, he's a Klingon.
Yeah, like...
I don't think he's being, like, the guy from season one, the inspector guy.
No, no, he's just... He is holding everyone to this exact standard, and the first he's just like barking out these orders to Wesley. Man, he hates Wesley.
Of course, so, he hates Wesley. It's a child on the bridge.
This dude has already won me over, and I love that he like his enunciation is like very exact, and he really enunciates acting ensign Wesley Crusher, not a real ensign.
Mm-mm.
You're just acting.
Yeah. Kid?
Yeah.
Is he a dummy? Well, Wesley's not a dummy.
No. He's too smart for his own good.
So one thing I was kind of like wondering the entire time with that enunciation, I almost wonder if that guy wasn't used to the teeth prosthetics.
That might have been
it. Because I feel like talking around like this giant like thing stuck in your mouth.
That's true.
Which is great audio. Everybody's going to love that. But like talking around like those weird like jaggedy Klingon teeth has to be rough. And if you're not practiced at it, you're going to talk very clearly. Make sure you've got your plosives right.
Well, I think I...
Oh, God.
Sorry. I liked it. I thought it was a good acting choice.
Well, I think it's also part of the universal translator. So I was thinking about that a lot in this episode, and we've talked about this before when Klingons have come up. Like, why are certain words Klingon only, and certain exchanges are only in Klingon? Because if we were to believe the science, the Klingons are always, with the exception of Worf, are always talking Klingon to one another, and we're just hearing the translated version. So why would some words not translate or some exchanges not translate?
It's because they choose to not want it to.
I feel either like that they or they don't culturally translate. It's a word that doesn't exist.
It's like Schadenfreude or whatever. Like English takes a lot of loan words where like a concept doesn't exactly translate. And like you could say like, you know, oh, like joy in another person's hardships or whatever. But it's easier to just use this like German loan word concept, Schadenfreude.
Yeah. So I think that's what it's supposed to be. Now, there's a couple of times where they have full-on exchanges in Klingon that we don't hear, and it's like, Picard's in the room! We should know what's being said right now!
Yeah, I was going to say, if nobody from Starfleet is in the room, then like maybe there's nobody with a translator active, but when Picard's there, yeah, who knows?
Yeah, well, it's fun. Klingon's
fun. Whatever the writers decide.
Yeah.
You know, I'm willing to suspend any disbelief.
I am not. This is real.
They're in space.
This is real life.
They're walking around on the floor in space.
This is how the justice system works.
Yeah, in the Klingon homeworld.
Which is real, and we can get to, and we call NASA, and they say, yo.
They're going to put us on the Stargate, and we're going to go to the Klingon homeworld.
Oh, boy. Stargate. We're going to do, like, a crossover, I guess. Let me just go, like, fire up my Mass Effect engine.
So, back in 10 Forward, Wesley is, like, having a drink. And I did notice there's a guy that was drinking piss at the bar. And I pointed
yellow
that out.
Yellow Gatorade.
Yeah, sure. Whatever. This is the future. They recycle their piss and they drink it.
It's alcoholic now, though.
Yeah.
Synthaholic.
Yeah. Well, they wouldn't have to recycle it. They have a...
It's just did the whole piss.
I know it's not actually pee. It was just there was a guy drinking an extremely piss colored beverage, and I thought it was funny.
I don't want to like get down this like.
I don't.
Gross
I don't want to take up any more time than this needed. To.
But do you think in the future they still jettison that stuff out of the ship? Like
they would
do
have
now?
To. What would they do? Well, maybe
no.
They
have to have some sort of refinement.
Use it
process.
For like fertilizer, maybe if they grow plants.
I am fairly sure that at least a decent amount of their waste gets recycled as material for the replicators.
Oh, God, that's gross.
So it is piss.
So they're eating shit all the time.
Well, they do that in space already, though. Yeah. Like, they reprocess urine and stuff.
Yeah, I guess so.
And, like, anyway. Once you, like, molecularly, like, break it down to, like, you know, component atoms and then reconstruct
it. Oh, well, yeah. So this is that, like, oh, if is
it's
Picard
just like
really
conservation
Picard,
of matter.
You know, when Picard gets
when they
put the transporter.
Out, yeah.
Yeah, is piss really piss when you put it in the replicator? It's
the
same philosophical
weird?
Discussion.
But the replicator is run off of energy, not matter. Like, it's not like they're taking matter and putting it into the replicator to turn it into new matter. They're taking energy and putting it into the replicator.
And turning it
into matter.
From energy.
Again, energy, matter, one thing in Star Trek Next
Generation.
Oh,
okay.
Like, you can just switch them back and forth at free will.
You know, it's probably Gatorade. It's probably just lemon lime Gatorade. I was just being cheeky.
Yeah,
and saying
we went
it was
down this whole
I'm sorry.
Weird, like, path.
During a great episode that we're not
a great episode. I'm sorry about talking about piss this whole time. So Wesley is complaining to Riker. And he was like, look, this guy sucks. This current guy, he's always on my ass.
Yeah.
He doesn't like me. I can't do anything right. And then Geordi comes in, and he's like, yeah, same thing. He comes down. He does surprise inspections when we're fixing stuff. Like, can you talk to him, maybe? Like, he doesn't understand how these ships are supposed to be run. And Riker's like,
doesn't it sound like they need him there to clean up their acts?
It really does. Yeah. It sounds like they're doing a terrible job. Like, oh, well, but it didn't look good because we were doing maintenance. Like, well, maybe you should have your, like, engineering section in better repair. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Maybe during maintenance, it shouldn't look terrible.
Yeah. Maybe stop making fake anime girlfriends, Geordi. and, like, fix your ship. You know he's doing that.
Of course, he's still in love with that woman.
But
well, that proximity of a woman.
Right, yeah. The fake person that he made that's based off a real person. But yeah, so they
it's
hate this guy.
It's his waifu. That's important.
Yeah, it's his waifu.
His
yeah.
waifu is his waifu. It's fine.
So they hate this guy, and they say the only person he doesn't give a hard time is the one person that wouldn't mind it. And it cuts to Worf at his station, and Kern is coming up to him, and he's like, hey, do this easy thing. And he's like, okay, I did it. And he's like, hey, do this other easy thing. He's like, all right, I did that too. You're doing a great job, Worf.
No, and Worf looks pissed.
Oh, Worf hates it.
I also want to say, they're not wrong. The one area on the Enterprise that needs the most work...
Security.
Is security!
Yeah.
Someone should clean that shit up!
Someone's always stealing a shuttle, breaking out of the brig, whatever. And ultimately, yeah, that is Worf's area.
Yeah.
That's... what needs work.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so Worf hates this. On the turbo lift, Riker runs into Kern, and he like makes a suggestion, and he does it like in a nice way where he's like, hey, you know, I used to serve on the Pog. It's this Klingon vessel, and it took me a while to get used to how things are done there. Things here are done a little differently than what you're used to. If you need any help adjusting, let me know. And as they're leaving, Kern is like, yeah, I can tell this is a Federation ship. Because if it wasn't, I would have killed you for that. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah, well, Riker was saying the crew is used to things a little differently.
Right.
Here. We're not Klingon, we're part of the Federation.
Yeah, and Kern is like, I don't care.
I don't care, because you'd be dead, dude.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, of course it's the Federation. If this was a Klingon ship, then yeah, I would have murdered you.
Right.
A lot. Like, so hard.
And
well,
we see
they wouldn't have murdered each other. Based on previous experience,
they would have fought.
They would have wrestled into a computer that exploded.
Right.
Yeah.
They have built... computers specifically for wrestling into on Klingon vessels, yeah. Because otherwise none of these things would ever be in flight. They'd just be constantly crashing.
Standard issue.
They destroyed their navigational computer because somebody body slammed the other dude into it again. So we see more of this like cultural difference on display at a dinner where Picard's carving up this turkey and Kern is there. He's like, oh, it looks like it was in the sun too long. I need raw meat. And they're like, yeah, you know, we don't have that here. It's not really...
We cook stuff.
Yeah, we cook things. You know, we have a wide variety of stuff for you to eat. Here, have some caviar. And he's like, what's that? And Picard's like, well, you know, the replicator can't get it right, really. There's not enough piss or whatever. And
oh, boy.
he doesn't say that. So the replicator can't get it right, but it's a delicacy from the Caspian Sea. So I've, like, stowed a few tins of it here. And it's fish eggs.
Data, like, tries to explain this.
They cut him off.
And they cut him off. And I'm like, why are you cutting him off? Like,
I think he would
like it. The question.
Yeah, and he'd like it.
Yeah.
Caviar seems like a thing right up
right,
the Klingon's alley.
Because it's, like, pungent, you know? It seems like something they would like. He grabs a handful of it, and he
smears... They eat worms! Why wouldn't they eat
exactly.
little eggs?
Why not?
So yeah, if he knew it was eggs, maybe he would be more into trying.
Exactly.
As opposed to, like, oh, this is just more human bullshit. I don't care.
Cooked turkey.
Yeah.
Turkey is the most boring human food. Right?
I like turkey.
Especially, like, white meat.
Turkey's good.
I like
turkey. It's good.
It's good. It's easy to mess up. And I can see a replicator not getting it right.
But it's kind of generic, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's not...
Get like, pheasant.
Dude is used you know? To eating worms and stuff.
Or like game meat. Get some deer.
Yeah. God, meet him halfway.
They're feeding him the most boring possible spread of food. It's like just a roast turkey and like
potatoes.
Some flowers.
Yeah, and you know, like, you pointed out he grabbed a flower on his way.
At one part of the scene, you see him take a petal off.
Yeah, you see him, like,
it.
Pulling the flower apart, which is fantastic. But that it's like, could you not, like, put out, like, a spread of, like, various human cultures' food as opposed to, like, an American Thanksgiving dinner?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, maybe he would be more into, like, hummus, or if you
sushi,
did, like,
maybe.
Like, fried grasshoppers or something. Like, maybe that would be
something
cool for him.
Something super spicy!
Yeah, something with any, like, flavor profile.
So, yeah, he points that out. He's eating. He's like, this is bland. This sucks.
It's like, yeah, I would say the same fucking thing.
Give him, like, a red curry, but make it with, like, Klingon worms.
Man, I'm getting hungry.
All right, I'm sorry. I just had the, like... concept of like human Klingon fusion cuisine, and like that would totally. Why is that not a thing in the
it's
space
all squid.
Future?
It should be. There has to be
it probably
somebody experimenting
like
with
Deep
it.
Space Nine, probably.
Not really. They still keep the diets pretty separated.
Yeah.
Oh.
But like somebody should be doing like I don't know, like I'm just like Klingon hummus. I don't know. I don't know what that would be, but
it probably just meat. It's steak tartare.
Yeah, it's whatever.
Yeah, just feed him steak tartare. But yeah, he doesn't
There's
like
so many
it.
Things. That's the point.
So
he doesn't think that would be better for him.
What if he'd like, no, even sushi? That's like raw fish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And give him some flavor.
They didn't give him it.
Again, flavor of any kind.
And that's his specific complaint. He's like, this is too bland. And they're like, well, I don't know. Worf seems to like it. He's like, yeah, he does. What a wuss.
It's like sick
Throw
burn.
Some mad shade.
Yeah. And it humiliates him. So then Worf goes to Kern's quarters. And
Kern, I love this scene.
And Kern is like, everything in this ship is built for comfort. It's not a Klingon vessel, but
you've
seem to
soft.
Yeah. And then he reveals that he was like, I've been here to test you. I've been here... You know, just needling you this whole time because...
Wait. He calls him soft and then Worf gets angry and starts to fight him.
Oh, yeah.
I just got to make sure. He had to push him to the point where Worf was angry enough to start beating him up.
Right. And then he's like, oh, you know, you're a Klingon or whatever. And I was here to test you because you're my older brother.
What? That's a mic drop moment.
Yeah. So it turns out...
You didn't know that was coming?
No, I had no idea that was coming.
That's great.
So
the whole episode takes a right turn.
It really does, because you think it's just going to be a whole episode about, like, oh, they've got this, like, exchange student commander, like, hanging out. One other thing I wanted to, like, briefly question. So he ate the flowers. His room also has flowers in them, and he's talking about comfort. Did he think that they literally had just food laying out in his room for him?
I think so. I can only
assume
so.
So he's like, oh, it's so comfortable. I can just reach out and grab a flower for dinner.
Whatever I want.
Like, he's just snacking.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, yeah, what we learn is that...
Yeah, it's like trail mix.
Basically. It's like you'll just
pretzels
you know,
at a bar.
Just that weird human comfort thing.
Thank God they didn't leave him potpourri. Yeah, so the Ketamir massacre or whatever, the thing that Worf's...
Ketamir. Right? Ketamir.
Ketamine.
The ketamine massacre that everyone got too high to live, and they all died.
Oh, they were in a K-hole.
Yeah,
they're
stuck in a K-hole.
Oh, no.
The Ketamir massacre where Worf's dad died, Moog. It turns out it was kind of complicated. Like, he had a friend, Lorg, who escaped. And Worf got left with him, I think?
Worf was left alone.
Or Worf was left alone, and Kern was left with Lorg.
Yeah. No, so, okay. Let's back up a moment. Kern never went to Ketamir.
Right. So that's why
he got left behind on the homeworld. Being watched by a family friend because he was too young, while Worf went to the planet.
Yeah.
Then this massacre happened. Worf is one of the sole, or maybe another survivor, who are the only ones left after this. The Romulans came and killed everybody.
Okay. Yeah, this part was super confusing to me because I wasn't.
But Kern wasn't on the planet.
No, okay. It wasn't super clear to me like how they got separated in the first place.
Intentionally by the parents, because I think we're supposed to think Worf was a small child, where Kern was a baby.
Yeah. Okay. So Klingon High Command and Starfleet or whatever, they basically led Worf to believe he had no relatives.
Well, they thought. Nobody knew the baby was left behind. on the home world.
Right, because Lorg adopted Kern
yes.
as his son.
Just raised him as a son because he was so young.
And then the when he like got to his like
Age of Ascension, confirmation which we saw
age
that happen.
Or whatever. Yeah.
We saw Worf go through his ascension.
Yeah, yeah. He learned, oh, no, I have a brother.
Yes.
It's Worf. Yes. And so that's why he sought out this specific assignment.
Mm-hmm. So do you remember Ascension?
Yeah.
With the pain sticks?
Right, where they get hit with the gauntlet and all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, all your friends come and they poke you with pain sticks.
Right, sounds great.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it wasn't until then that he found it out.
Oh, okay.
Kind of crazy.
Yeah. So, yeah, he sought him out and he was like, I wanted to make sure that you were a Klingon. And also, our dad, Moog, has been accused of treason. Mm-hmm. Even though Moog is dead, this is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been accused of giving Romulans the coordinates or something of Kitomir, and that's how they attacked.
It was like the codes for the shields or something.
For the shields. Yeah, that was it. And Kern is like, all this time, I've been hiding my identity. I've been like pretending Lorg is actually my dad just so I could escape this. And so I could come to you and we can challenge the judgment.
Some Klingon lore here.
Okay.
And I love this stuff.
We
were talking about this, Chelsea. You and I were talking about this before Patrick came over. Mm. How much I love the lore of Star Trek.
Yeah.
Houses matter so much to Klingons. There's nothing more important to a Klingon than the honor around the family and the honor around the house that they're a part of, because that's how they're reflected back in society. And I love what this episode does, because it basically says to Worf, your house, something that you know is very valuable, but you're not necessarily culturally attached to day to day, is now in jeopardy. But one of the highest things of import in the world, or on the planet, is your house's honor, and it's coming into question right now.
Oh, okay. And this affects, like, I think Worf says later, if his dad is a traitor, it affects his family for 7 generations.
Well, you're an outcast for 7 generations.
Yeah.
So it's still a male-dominated society, although, and they get into this a little bit later, it's passed from male to male, not from female to female.
Oh, okay.
So it's a patriarch.
That sounds like Klingon to me.
Yeah, well, it fits, right?
Yeah.
Right. Every son, basically, I guess females as well, but females will marry into other families, will be outcasts for 7 generations, which is a huge deal. You don't want to be an outcast. 7 generations is a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what Worf is, like, explaining to Picard about this, you know, because Worf goes to Picard's ready room, and he's, like, talking about, like, yeah, it's 7 generations, it's a big deal. I got to go challenge this. It's like he's got to go to an appeals court. Except in this case, he could die.
Yeah.
Because if you lose the challenge, you fucking die.
Yes.
That's messed up. But
it's because of a family member, too. It's not like his crime.
Right.
He's got to go defend like somebody else's crime, and he could die for what somebody else did, because that's how Klingons roll.
Right.
Yeah.
And Picard is like, well, look, man, this is a capital offense. I got to be there with you. Mm-hmm. You're one of my officers. I got to help you out. So
well, yeah, Picard.
He's like, goes on the bridge. He's like, we're going to the Klingon homeworld, all of us. And Kern is like, okay, hell yeah, we're going.
This must irk Riker so hard.
Oh, God,
on several levels. Mainly, Picard's not supposed to be on the away team.
No.
And he's like, I'm going to the situation that could kill me.
Right. Kern is like really impressed. He's like, yeah, hell yeah, dude. Y'all are ride or die. That's awesome. So he meets Worf in 10 Forward, and he offers to be his Chal Deech, or Chal Deech. It's really
Chadish.
Hard. Chadish. Okay, sorry, it's really hard.
Patrick, that's what I am
this.
To you if you ever go to court.
I appreciate that.
I'm your Chadish.
Thank you.
So a word that cannot be translated into English.
It can.
Only makes sense in
Well,
Klingon.
It's a second. Like, if you get challenged in a
no,
duel.
No.
Okay.
It cannot it's be more translated.
It's more important than a second. Come on
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it is.
There's, like, shades of cultural meaning, because you also, like, have to obey the person.
Yeah.
And you're the one who can die
There's
for
this the other relationship brought up. Yeah. So
we're ride and die
now.
Together. That's what I'm saying. We ride and die together.
So Worf is like, okay, yeah, you're gonna be my guy. I appreciate that. And Kern says a bunch of stuff in Klingon. According to Memory Alpha, this is what he says. I accept with honor. May your enemies tremble before you. And Worf is like, Also, while we're there, you can't tell anyone that Moog is your dad. Yeah. And Kern is like, hell no, I'm going to tell everyone. I'm proud of this. That I would rather die than live in dishonor. You know that. I'm a Klingon, dude. Come on.
Come on, we got this in common.
And so he says, no, look, here, you are my commanding officer, and I obey you. On the Klingon homeworld, you are my Chadich, and you obey me. There's not really anything that Kern can do about that.
Hell yeah.
I love this scene, though, because later there's a scene with Picard where this really matters.
Yeah. And that's an interesting thing to make your commanding officer your Chadich, which happens twice.
Yes.
To Worf.
Yeah.
So they get down to Konos, and it's this, like, from the outside, it looks like a tropical world, and then down, it's just like, no, this is hell. they like it, though. They like hell. They love living in hell, where everything is stormy and red.
I wouldn't say it's hell.
It looks gloomy as shit, dude.
It's evening.
Okay.
Yeah, it's late.
It's just constantly
they're just having
night.
A late-night trial.
Okay, it's night court. They take them down to night court, Klingon night court.
Well, all lights are red, and yeah. I like it. Yeah. I think we would all look a lot sexier if we were always under red lights.
Probably. It would hide acne.
I've got these like Bluetooth light bulbs at my house that you can control with a smartphone, and like you can change the color on them. And I turn the lights to red like 80% of the time.
Yeah,
it's dope as hell.
Right,
it feels like living in a dark room, like a really horny dark room,
like a Riker dark room.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's probably what Riker's.
So it's like I can develop film and also look really stylish. So, you know, that's basically what's important in life, and I'm glad that the Klingons share those priorities.
So they get down to that. That's what the courtroom is like. And there's this big fat dude on a throne.
Whoa! I mean, he's okay.
Well, they point out later that this is
Okay.
This is for the plot later. I don't mean to body shame this Klingon.
And he's not that bad.
He's an older, not really. He's an
you
older.
You painted him like Jabba the Hutt.
He's an older portly guy.
In blackface.
He is in blackface. Yeah. So that's probably more important than
his
weight
class. Well, it's like gold face kind of.
It's a weird thing.
It's.
And we've talked about this, I think, before on the show. When they have older, wiser Klingons, they tend to be played by white actors. Who have a darker, like, they're not, they don't look like African-American people, but they have, like, a dark makeup on them.
Yeah.
Which is blackface.
It is, it's blackface. But I'm saying it's weird because when they have two black actors, and I'm going to, like, put my foot in my mouth, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to be weird, but when they have two black actors, they're shades of black because
they're a natural human skin tone. Because
it's their human skin tone.
Right.
But then with the white actors, they put on this blackface to make them this weird bronze color.
That no human being has.
Yeah, so it's like, well, why not just make them white Klingons and just say they're as diverse as the human races?
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead, they do this like really terrible looking makeup that like is completely unconvincing at whatever they're trying to do and is also just kind of weirdly racist.
Yeah, I agree. They could just like, it's a white guy Klingon.
He's
got
the
same ridges. They're just like, oh, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference? He has ridges all over his face.
Yeah. Well,
come on.
And there used to be much paler Klingons. Like, they were essentially, like, white guy skin tone. It was kind of weird in the original series. You would kind of get a sort of very... Like, there was a pretty wide variance in terms of just how, like, blackface-y the Klingons were. I mean, they never actually sunk to quite the depths of this episode, but you would get episodes where dudes were painted up with this weird, like, shiny gold, sort of.
Yeah.
That was just sort of a really strange thing. And some of them were just, like, slightly, like, tanned white guys.
Well, it was almost, and I don't know what the term for this is, but, like, Asian face. They were almost more Asian than they were African-American.
Absolutely. It was more...
Which is still bad. Like,
No. I'm not saying... I'm just saying they were... The facial hair that we see, like, Worf has...
Oh, yeah.
Is
it's
a carryover
like,
from
Have you ever
series.
Seen the John Wayne movie where he pretends to be Genghis Khan?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like that.
Yeah.
Which was terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that the term is just yellow face for
that.
Yeah,
that's right.
Sure.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, you would get, like, this weird sort of range of kind of this, like, yellow face thing happening with some of them, and some of them just looked like, you know, like, oh, this is, like, an Italian guy or something.
Right.
And it was kind of all over the place and always mildly weird. And again, it never got to quite the same level as this episode, which is wild because that was made in the 60s.
Right.
When, like, you had a bunch of, like, Westerns and stuff on TV.
Where they would do that constantly.
They just went, like, deep in the paint with, like, red face, like, white people playing, like, Asians and, like, Africans and, like, whatever. And, like, they didn't really care. So it was sort of a really bizarre thing that by like 1990 they were just like, no, we have gotten worse at this.
Like, we're still doing this.
The point is it's the Klingon race.
Why couldn't they just cast more black actors?
Yeah, that's the other thing.
The biggest question.
Yeah, if
there's
Klingons
no shortage of black.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It's weird. I would love to know how that decision was justified.
I really don't think there was much thought put into it.
Yeah. So they just picked what actor they wanted to play.
Probably. And they're like, well, you got to be in brownface now. Sorry. I didn't write I did literally write the rules to this. But, you know, that's just what I'm lazy. Here
but
you
they
go.
They have the crazy foreheads.
Yeah, I know.
That's all we need.
That's all you need to know that they're Klingons. You don't have to do all this other stuff.
Yeah.
I agree. Anyway, yeah, so there's that guy on the chair.
Yeah.
And he's like the judge. And Worf comes up to like this appeals court, and it's a weird situation that he's in because he is challenging this accusation that's been brought by the son of Duras. Duras was Moog, Worf's dad, Moog's chief rival.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, there's nothing weird going on there.
Yeah,
you know, why would it
underhanded happening?
Yeah. And Worf comes and he says, "I am Worf, son of Moog. I've come to challenge the lies that have been spoken of my father." So right out the gate, he's like, "Yeah, I'm going to challenge this stuff." Duras comes up to Worf and he like yells at him. He's like, "Your father was a traitor," and he slaps him and he takes his little bandolier thing off and throws it on the ground.
Calls it a child's uniform.
Right.
Yes.
He's just being a real jerk to him. And Picard is there and they're like, "What is this dude doing? You're a human. What's your deal? Like, why are you here?" And he says, "I'm actually his commanding officer and Worf has served with dignity. He's great. I vouch for this guy," basically. And the judge says, "You know what? That's good. So noted. A commanding officer's respect is a good thing to have in court." But it appears to not be enough because Duras is saying, "Look, we found a transmission. Access codes went out to the Romulans, and then the shields went down. And that's when your dad was at his post. So something happened."
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "I think what happened is Moog is a traitor, and you brought this challenge. That means you're a traitor too. So you got to die." And he takes, he's like, "You suck, dude." Basically, like, "You're not one of us."
Yeah.
So not only will Worf die, he will die in dishonor.
Yes.
Which is even worse.
Yes.
And he will die not technically a Klingon.
Yeah.
If he's a traitor, he's
like, could you imagine anything worse happening?
This is like Worf's worst nightmare.
Yes.
So they have a recess. Kempek is the judge, by the way. Kempek goes and talks to Worf, and he's like, "Look, dude, don't do this. Just go. Go home. All right. I served with your dad. I knew your dad. Moog was a good guy. I don't know if I believe all this stuff, but you can't fight City Hall," basically. He's like,
"Yeah, get out of here.
Get out of here, kid. You're going to die. Look, just go back to Starfleet. You're having a good time there. I don't know why you came here. Just get out.
No matter what the evidence says, you're guilty. So get out of here."
So that's weird.
Oh, my gosh.
And then
what implicates that he is guilty.
Right. And then Kern gets a note that's saying, "Hey, meet me in this abandoned hallway. Nothing bad's going to happen to you." And he's like, "Oh, okay. That sounds up to code.
Come to the hallway. Don't bring weapons.
Right.
It's fine."
Yeah. And he shows up, and Duras is there. And Duras is like, "Hey, dude, I know that Moog is your dad, too." And he's like, "Oh, I'm so careful. What happened?" And then
you kept saying brother to Worf.
Yeah, you kept saying brother in front of everyone. Two assassins come out, and they stab him.
They kill him? Well, they hurt him.
He fights, and like they stab him. He doesn't die, because we see him next in the sickbay on the Enterprise, and he's Dr. Crusher's healing him. And she's like, "Look, they cut him up real bad, but he's going to live." And Worf says that it would have been better if you let him die, because he's going to be executed with me anyway, and he'll be executed in dishonor. At least this way he would have died in honor. So,
and Beverly's like, "You're talking like you've already lost."
Right.
And that's her only line in the episode.
That she does not... Well, she
has like one or two like medical lines.
Right. So Troy is also not in this one either.
She laughs at one point.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that counts. Does she get a...
She, like, makes some reaction faces when Kern is, like, eating.
Yeah,
because he's
true.
Eating with his hands instead of utensils.
Yeah. Well, I hope she got paid extra for that.
That's when she won her Tony.
Right.
Yeah.
So Worf goes to Picard, and he's like, look, I don't have a Chadich anymore, and I want it to be you. There's not anyone else that I would trust. Obviously, you can say no if you want, and you will have no dishonor. And Picard's like, well, there's bigger dudes than me on this ship,
Patrick,
right?
This is how I feel about having your back. There might be people more adequate at having your back.
Okay.
But I've got it.
All right, I accept it. You can be my Chadich, which is a real thing.
Next time you're in the space court.
Next time I'm in
Next
space
Next time you're
night
protesting
court.
Something and you get okay. arrested and you need somebody to stab somebody else.
I haven't been arrested yet.
Oh,
we'll see.
Soon,
probably. I'm sure I'm on a list. But, yeah, sure. I appreciate that.
I'm just saying.
Just bring a gun to court and nothing bad will happen.
I'll bring a gun and ride and die, dude.
Yeah.
No, you got to bring a knife sword.
Knife,
right.
sword gun.
Knife sword.
I don't remember what the Klingon weapons are called. I'm blanking on it. The, like, botleth?
Yeah.
Bring a botleth with
yes.
you.
Just tell them it's only for display purposes.
Just to show that I've got his back.
Right.
Yeah,
all.
Just be like, I was shitty.
And if
fine.
You want to get into combat, we'll do it.
So Picard basically says all that. Yeah. Well, what he says is, you know, there's other people on the ship, and Worf is like, there is no one else who I'd rather have. And so Picard responds in Klingon, like the whole thing
yes.
that you say when you accept a Chadich, because of course he's been studying this.
Which, again, if we were to believe what we're told, why all aliens speak the same language, for us, that should have been translated.
No,
it just sounded like English.
Well, I think Picard chose not to have it translated. He turned his translator off.
I'm just saying. That's it.
Maybe it's kind of like, I don't know. There's like legal terms where you, like, you say them in Latin because
yeah.
it's the tradition. So like,
right.
oh, it's the tradition to say this in Klingon. I don't know. Like
yeah.
it's traditionally untranslated.
I'll say this. It's super cool that it's in Klingon.
Oh, it's awesome.
Love it.
It rules.
I
will
just say what we're supposed to believe if we remember rules that have been established earlier.
I will
why
always,
wasn't that translated?
I will always make up excuses for, like, space linguistics to happen.
Yeah, it's great.
I love it.
Like,
again,
whatever
I
it
love
takes,
it.
I'm here for it.
So they go down to the Klingon planet, and Duras is like, well, can this guy really be Chadich? And, you know, Picard is like, look
at my forehead.
Yeah, I'm not here to command anything. I'm here to follow all the rules. And
I'm bald
just,
like you guys.
I'm here to be this guy's dude, like, Don't you mess with him, you mess with me. That's what a Chadich does, basically. And he's accepted as that. So the Enterprise crew, while this is happening, they're pouring through all these records about the massacre, the Ketomir massacre. And they find that there's the USS Intrepid was a Starfleet ship that was nearby. So they go through all these different logs of, like, the shields from the Ketomir thing. And they find it's like, uh-oh, well, Data says that it does correspond to where Moog was coming from. So
wait a second. But if we look a little closer.
Yeah, and they go, they look at the Intrepid's logs. And then it says, okay, well, it does sync up, except up here, when we match these records, there's like a time difference. Mm-hmm. So it looks like someone covered something up.
Something was deleted.
Yeah.
Someone deleted a chunk of security footage.
And yeah, as Geordi says, it looks like someone is trying to rewrite history. So, yep, it basically looks like someone set Moog up. Mm-hmm. Why? We don't really know. So, yeah, they also find that there's another survivor. Beverly Crusher, I think, finds this. That mm-hmm. There's a woman named Caleste. She was just a woman that was there that happened to survive. Someone other than Worf that did.
Yeah, and I think we find this out later, but it's...
It's his nurse.
Caretaker.
Yeah, it's his nurse. Mm-hmm. His nanny, basically. And Riker basically calls Picard on his cell phone while he's in court.
Yeah, in the middle of court.
And he's like, oh, I gotta take this. Sorry.
Put that shit on vibrate.
Yeah. I also, yeah, like, Picard just has that on full volume. Like, you can right. just hear Riker, like, Captain Picard, this is Riker from the Enterprise. What's up?
Yeah.
How you doing, man?
And he goes and they
we
tell
have
him.
Important plot details.
He's like,
do you
stand
want
by.
Now?
Yeah. They tell him all this information. He asks for a recess and he tells Worf what happened. He's like, yeah, so do you know this Caleste lady? He's like, yeah, she was my nanny. Mm-hmm. He's like, well, she lives in the old quarter. She's still alive. And I'm going to go find her. And he says, look, it's dangerous to go alone. He says, hey, I'm Earnshaw Deitch. I got to go do this. So he walks around in like this cloak.
That's badass.
It is pretty cool.
It's pulled over his face.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
He's also like trying to like clutch it shut because right. he's literally still just wearing his like Federation uniform, which is bright red.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why he didn't get a belt.
He thinks
he got a robe.
He
get a
thinks
belt.
He's in a Dixon Hill story. Just let him do this. He goes.
He loves this part.
He loves this stuff. He finds Celeste and she's this old woman. And she's, like, not giving any information. She's like, I died that day. I know nothing.
We do get this really cool shot where she's, like, refusing to help him. And, like, we just see, like, her silhouette and, like, her lips moving on the wall, which is, like, a really, like, neat cinematography, like, trick there.
Yeah. So he's like, well, you know, just so you know, Worf is going to die because you're not telling me anything. All right, see you later. And as he's leaving, assassins attack him. He, like, kicks one of the... He just, like, grabs this dude's foot and throws him down.
He stabs a dude.
Yeah, he stabs the other dude, and then the guy that he threw down comes at him. He's, like, about to kill him, and boom, knife in that guy's back. It's Celeste.
Of course. You don't mess with the Klingon
women. Don't mess with Klingon women.
No.
Celeste rules.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's like, yeah, all right, I'll help you. Also, that judge, Kempek, he was into me, but he was too fat for me.
That's right.
I don't know why they reveal this detail at all.
I think it's fun.
It's
I guess. It's supposed to be a joke, right?
Yeah.
It's like, a weird joke, but you know.
Yeah. Well, he's a thicker man.
Yeah, he's not really that fat.
Not at all.
He's just kind of a weird, like, shambolic old man.
Yeah.
So, like, I can kind of see why you wouldn't be into that.
I mean, I'm not into it. He's got all this stuff on his face, too. So
that's fine. That's just like a species
his
thing.
Ridges.
Yeah.
So they come into the courtroom. They do this Perry Mason
My
stuff.
My bigger issue would be his teeth.
Yeah.
I mean, you got a brush of those things.
Got prosthesis on there.
Yeah. Anyway.
Somebody really needs to like get in on like the Klingon homeworld. And I mean, I guess it would be like a cultural imperialism on the Federation's part, but to introduce toothbrushes.
Oh, hell yeah.
Although then again, they do like have space communism essentially in the Federation. So like nobody's allowed to have their own personal toothbrush.
Yeah, we all share.
Yeah. Just sorry for the like in-depth online communism jokes about toothbrushes. That's what I bring to this as a
I'm
guest.
Coming for that toothbrush. he basically pulls a Perry Mason because Worf is about to be sentenced to death. And he's like, wait, I have new evidence.
Objection.
Yeah. And
surprise witness.
Yeah, and it's a surprise witness. It's this woman Celeste. They gotta take it to like the chambers, basically. Because they can't reveal this just out in the open.
Because no one has anything to hide, but they can't talk about it publicly.
Right. Mm-hmm. Of course. Yeah.
Yep.
That's how it works.
And that's what Kempek says.
That's why you don't release your tax records.
Right.
You have nothing to hide.
Of course not.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So he goes to, they go to Kempek, and they have this woman here who survived the massacre. One of the only people known besides Worf, who was a baby, basically. Kempek, the judge, is like, look, we can't have you out there. Sorry. Obviously, you're not going to be able to reveal this in public. Sorry. Bye. It's good to see you, though. And she's like, you're still fat. And she leaves.
That's what I'm saying. It's supposed to be like she set up the joke at the beginning, and that was supposed to be a punchline on it, I think.
So this is where Kempek reveals what's going on. So the Klingons, they captured this Romulan ship, and they had all these records. Just recently, this happened. And they were like, oh, there was some kind of treachery going on in this massacre. But it wasn't Moog. In fact, Moog had been trying to reveal the treachery before he died. And it wasn't him. But he wasn't really well connected. He wasn't powerful. The people that did the treachery were. And it was Duras's father.
Yeah.
So Duras has been trying to accuse Moog's family of something that his family did.
Yes.
But they're so well connected that if this was revealed, if this got out, the Empire, according to Kempek, the Empire would crumble because it would be a civil war. Because Duras's family is so powerful, so they can't face this dishonor. And
crazy, right?
Yep. And because of that, he was like, Worf, I asked you to leave. We thought it wouldn't bother you because you were in Starfleet and this is just so far removed from you.
He's a scapegoat.
Right. And he was like, that's why you were the scapegoat, because this wouldn't affect you. We thought. And we didn't know you had a younger brother. But now here he is. Look, we didn't want this to happen. So, you know, now you got to die. Otherwise, there'd be civil war. So Worf is like begging, look, just spare Kern. I will die for the sake of the Empire.
Picard is pissed.
Picard is pissed. Picard hates this. He says, look, no, this is my commanding officer. He comes back with me. Kempek threatens to break the alliance, and
which seems like a crazy thing.
It seems like every single like political structure that the Klingons have going on is ridiculously weak.
Yeah, it's built on sand.
They're just true. Like, oh, like a single guy did like a cover up, so like our empire is going to completely fall apart.
Right.
Or like, oh, if we let you like take this guy home, even though he's technically in your, he's like one of your civilians and in your military service. Then that's gonna like also make the Empire crumble, yeah, and like destroy an alliance that we've been like trying to build.
It just seems like a convenient excuse, yeah, to me, honestly. So Worf comes up with a solution. He says, look, you can give me discommendation. Basically exile, I think, is what, yes, this, yeah, is, yep, from the Klingon community. But just spare Kern all this bullshit. Just let him live his life. You just exile me. You don't have to kill anybody. And Kempek is like, okay, we can do that. That can work. And they go do the ceremony where they all like... Oh, before they do it, though, he says, okay, everything that is said in this room, it never happened. And so Worf goes to Duras and says, your father was a traitor. And Duras is just like, oh, yep, you got me there. And he just slaps the shit out of him.
And he goes, now I'm ready.
Now I'm ready. Yeah. And they do this ceremony where everyone like crosses their arms and turns their back on him. And finally...
They do it all like in order, oh, and like, yeah, neatly like
very
spin around. It's so choreographed. Yeah. They've been practicing this. They have been waiting for years to like...
Finally, we get a discommendation.
Someone,
yeah,
like that. Yeah, discommendation.
And it goes to Kern, and Kern doesn't want to do it. And Worf is like, brother, in front of everybody.
Yeah.
Loudly. Yeah, you must. And... You know, he begrudgingly does it. And then Picard and Worf walk out to fight another day. But I hope we haven't seen the last of this.
End of episode.
Yeah. I do feel, yeah, kind of bad for... There's a lady who... I think it's a lady who was, like, turned to face the door. And so, like, they're all supposed to be facing away from, like, Worf and, like, not look upon him. But they have to walk, like, right in front of her.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, geez, you really should have, like, placed this woman somewhere
else. They should have blocked this, yeah, better, yeah.
Trust me, it's not over. This is just the start.
Hell yeah.
Of the whole drama that Worf has with his homeworld. Love it, too. It's a great arc that is going to go for, gosh, at least the rest of Next Gen and some of Deep Space Nine as well. How this whole political thing plays out. And you're going to love every moment of it because you're already hooked on the Klingon stuff. Yep. We're not even that deep into it. Well, Chelsea, this is the part of Patrek where we like to rate what we just saw. If we thought it was amazing... Must watch Star Trek. We set to kill. If we thought it was pretty good, if it comes up in the queue, you give it a watch. We set to stun. If we thought it was terrible, avoid at all costs, no need to ever watch, we leave it in the holster. So, what'd you think?
Leave it in the holster. No, set to
what?
Kill.
What?
Set to kill, set mind. To kill, set,
oh,
to kill.
Hell yeah. Boom.
Set to like as much kill.
Boom.
All you need is kill.
Yeah. Yeah. Maximum kill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why?
I mean, it sets up so much dope Klingon stuff. There's a lot of like really cool family drama. Again, this is partly like not even related to this particular episode, but I just really liked the cinematography.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just really overjoyed to see good cinematography. But like this episode in particular does have a lot of really good shots. Like it's
agreed.
A great looking episode. All the acting's really solid. As long as you can get around the like needless blackface. But like, I mean, the story and the writing and everything like is solid enough, aside from that one like weird minor downside.
Well, what's weird about it is it's unnecessary and it doesn't go away.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
It's just there. That's just,
that's
always
just,
what
that's
they're going to do
Star Trek
for some reason.
Forever. Yeah. Yeah. And it, anyway, yeah, it's weird, but yeah, agreed. Patrek, what do you think?
Also set to kill.
Yes. Yeah.
Really, just all the reasons that I said before. I like any episode that does a lot of the cultural differences between Klingons and humans. And, you know, this was what that was. And also this high drama about Worf coming to terms with his family and, you know, having this cool courtroom drama in addition to that. And it was a nice, concise little episode that had no extra stuff that's boring. Yeah, it was good.
No Riker romance.
No Riker romances, none of that. No, it's good. It's a good episode.
Yeah, completely agree. Set to kill as well.
Yeah, yeah. No, like, pew, weird B plot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No pointless B plot. Sometimes a B plot's great and adds a lot of color. Sometimes it's just like, what are we talking about?
Oh, we did get to see a man eat a flower, too, which is pure set to kill content, I feel like.
Yeah, I don't have a lot to add in addition to what you two said as to why it's great. I do think that Picard here, too, is really the Picard I know and love. Now, he's always been amazing. We've talked about Patrick Stewart's acting quite a bit. But earlier seasons, and even a little bit early this season, he's a big grump and a fun hater. Now he's still stern, right? Yeah,
he's in his element, though.
But he's not. Like, they found the balance between him needing to be in charge, as well as him being loyal to his crew, as well as him having, like, reactions to when this caviar he especially prepared was not well-received. Like, that's a good laugh moment there, his reaction to that. So they have a nice balance between how stiff he is, as well as, like, playing into him as a real human being, as opposed to sometimes, especially earlier on, he's a bit of a jerk.
Yeah.
And so I really like that starts to come through here as well. In addition to what you guys said, what you said, I think is probably the highlight of the episode. But I did really like Patrick Stewart and Picard in this one.
That was almost a like sort of Kirkian setup situation. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of times where Captain Kirk, because he is much more of an away team guy, will like be very willing to like put himself up as the guy who's on trial or be the guy who sacrifices himself for his crew. And Picard, since he's usually more on the bridge while Riker, you know, gets to go out and play and be on planets and whatever. You don't see it as often from Picard, I feel like, and it is one of the things that I really, really enjoy about Captain Kirk. So it was nice sort of getting to see Picard's like loyalty to his crew like really shine through in this very like one-on-one, like people right up in his face sort of situation.
Yeah.
As opposed to from the bridge, where it's like he's still obviously trying to protect the crew, but like he's talking to like some dudes on a view screen or whatever.
Right.
And that's a Roddenberry thing where they stopped. It wasn't his job to go out on the away team anymore. And I don't know why. Well, I get why they made that choice, because a captain shouldn't be running around on a planet.
Absolutely.
All the time. It's kind of nuts how often Kirk is not on the ship.
It's nice to see it, though. Because this is a television show.
And they're out adventuring,
right?
Which is always fun to see.
Yeah.
But it does like limit Picard in some regards to he's just yelling things from the bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, is there anything you two want to talk about before we get out of here? Anything you want to plug?
I've got my own Star Trek show.
No way.
What?
What?
Me too.
What?
Me too.
Oh, wow. We all got a Star Trek podcast. Incredible. Mine is...
Do you watch Star Trek on yours?
We do, yeah.
Holy
shit.
We
do too.
Wow.
What
a coincidence.
You might be able to gather from how much I've been referencing the original series. My show, we are watching all of Star Trek from the beginning all the way through to the end. We're in the middle of like season 2 of the original series right now as we're recording this. When you listen to this show, I don't know where we'll be. But yeah, we're planning on going like original series, animated series, next gen, the movies, just all of it. That is Long Trek Home. You can find us at Long Trek Home on Twitter or longtrekhome.com, where you can find like links to subscribe and listen to it. Check that out. Or you can just search iTunes for it.
Yeah, it's a fun show. I recommend it.
Excellent.
You can find all of our shows live on either patrek.space or the Patreon.
Wait, what's the Patreon?
The Patreon is a way that you can support us with just small monthly donations, or for $5 a month, you will get access to special content. This month we released some actual plays of the Star Trek tabletop that we got asked to test out.
Yeah, I have had a lot of requests on Twitter to bring Blackwood back.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just saying, I will play that character.
That's a fun character.
Hey, I'm not going to say that's very close to who I am, but it was very easy to play. Yeah.
The Captain Kirk, basically.
Well, the Commander Riker.
Okay, yeah.
I was rolling some high charismas on that game, too. So.
Yeah, so you'll get some of that, and also we will also be doing some original series watches as well.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting. We're going to go through that. And all of that will be available on our Patreon.
Yeah, patreon.com/PatTrek.
And you can listen to me DM a game of Dungeons & Dragons on the Dungeon Rats. The thing is, it's up to you to submit the monsters, plot twists, magic items, and anything else you can think of for myself and the players to deal with. It's been a lot of fun. We're almost done with season one, so we have a major story arc closing out pretty soon, probably in about 3 episodes. So if you want to listen or you want to participate and hit us with your suggestions, please go to thedungeonrants.com.
Let's see what's out there.
Peaches. Hot sauce. Peaches.